B-Pod Studios.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich, and I do it every hour. I don't know why, but you can watch us on Twitch. On twitch.tv, the Twitch app. Follow 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just wanted to quickly mention, tomorrow at 8 a.m., the return of Brookline 911.
Yeah, because Big Baby Glenn Davis is never going to come in. I could have told you that. Well, I did tell you that. Big Baby Glenn Davis, if you don't know, was supposed to come in on Friday. Then it turns out that he was in some hot water back in Los Angeles because he, due to terms of his probation, was supposed to be not leave the state. And then, of course, he was at the Kevin Garnett jersey retiring ceremony, you know, dancing around on TV. And then they booked a bunch of comedy shows. So, you know, he was supposed to come on. Rich, you know, on Friday told you why he was not able to.
I read exactly what I was told, and then the news report, and that, you know, us talking about it got picked up by like the New York Post and all this stuff.
The New York Post picks up everything from everywhere.
It really does.
Like the New York Post, like when I went away, the New York Post picked it up, but it's not like there's no way it's in the paper.
So I emailed back and forth with his manager, Big Baby's manager, on Friday. And it ended with me saying, so is he going to come in on Monday? Like, you know, you guys said he was going to come in, and I heard nothing back. And then I talked to, you know, the comedy person who was booking all of his comedy stuff. And I said, hey, have you heard anything from, you know, Big Baby? Because they said they're coming in on Monday. And he goes, I'll try calling him. Apparently, he called him two times, never heard anything back. So they had last told us he was going to be in at 8 o'clock, but then I heard nothing back, which, of course, means that there's no way.
And his, apparently, his non-comedy manager is upset at us for... He doesn't think we should have discussed Big Baby's legal troubles, even though he's a public figure going through legal troubles that affected his appearance on our show.
But I was told the reason he wasn't coming in was because he was in court that morning.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's not like anything was out of line.
No, our listener, I was reporting what was told to us. So,
and why do we owe? And it's like, you shouldn't have done Big Baby like that. It's like, I don't have any relationship with the guy. What are you talking about? He's the one who got in trouble, not me.
Bruins luchador, please do not call off the dogs. He says if Big Baby doesn't show up to touch and Rich, we should call John in Vegas. Big, come on,
no, save Bruins. John from Vegas needs to be saved. I might have something for John from Vegas in a little bit. John, don't waste him on Big Baby.
No. That's like having like a, you know. It's like being a country that has like a warhead ready to go.
Well, that's like Russia invading the Ukraine.
Yeah, you wait, you hold on to that.
Yeah, you save John from Vegas for like a very important mission where annoyance is of the essence and all of that is of the essence.
Listen, there's nothing I'd like more for them to be in studio. It's just it's been bungled so badly. And
he's never going to do those gigs either. And so the thing, well, I don't think he is. I shouldn't say he's never going to. But he was never coming in. I've been at this long enough to know who's coming in and who's not coming in. And he was never coming in. I mean, I'm glad you tried.
Oh, sure.
But on the upside, you know, his loss to comedy is a lot of people's gain because starting this Friday, Rich, we have our auditions. Mm-hmm. Maybe they could take Big Baby's gigs that he didn't want because, Joe, we have people every Friday coming in now to audition for stand-up. I mean, it's apparently as easy as that. You just
do you guys have someone already for this week?
Yeah, for this week we do have someone. And Rich,
I'll get up around 10 a.m., eat a bowl of pasta.
So if you've ever wondered what Pasta Joe would be like with 4 minutes...
Pasta.
Of just straight comedy and a Wheaties jacket. Look no further.
Is he really going to do 5 or 4 minutes on the air of his comedy?
He is going to do, Rich, 4 minutes of uninterrupted stand-up. Now, I'm going to keep our mics on so there's encouraging laughter, because I can assure you, I will be laughing. I will be laughing, laughing, laughing. I can't tell you how excited I am. It's going to be like taking a magical pill of happiness. Just Pasta Joe coming in and doing 4 minutes of stand-up is going to be a delight. And then there's people like the Bird is going to do it. Yeah.
I was with Bird last night.
You and Bird are thick as thieves.
We're boys, dude. We hang out all the time.
Yeah, no, where were you guys at last night?
Last night around my house.
Okay. Did you watch wrestling?
What did we watch last night? We watched a lot of basketball last night.
All right. But you mixed in a little Russ?
A little Russ in there. Yeah, a little wrestling talk, you know?
Yeah, you mixed that in there?
Yeah.
All right. What time did he take off?
Like late 11:30.
Wow.
Late night last night.
Joe living the life of Riley. Joe having the time of his life. All right, did you guys see this David Ajabo video that's going around?
I didn't watch it because I found out what happened, and I hate watching stuff like this.
It's not because of the injury, but like a bunch of people who have played and cover this for a living. So David Ojabo was at the Michigan Pro Day, and he's doing one of those drills where you got to run to and fro, back and forth, and then they throw you the ball, you catch it, and then you run forward. So when he catches the ball, he rips his Achilles.
Yeah, non-contact injury.
He rips his Achilles, but he goes down in like a heap and like starts rolling around. And the coaches you can see the feet of the coaches, and they all back up. And the guy who was running the drill walks by him and picks up the ball. And they're like, "This is terrible optics, terrible optics." You know, no one's paying any attention to the guy. And then I went, wow, this does look bad. And then I look at the comments, and there's 5,000 people around the guy. Like, so they all backed up, and then medical personnel came in. So in this video you're seeing literally 5 seconds of him on the ground injured.
Yeah.
And nothing happens. So the guy grabs the ball. The guy's not a medical guy, so the guy grabs the ball and, like, walks away. What are the coaches going to do? So all this medical crew, I mean, they obviously helped him.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't get up and... So the idea was that this guy went down, the coaches all stood there, the dude picked up the ball, and they went about their business.
Yeah.
Which, is, I guess, could not be further from the truth.
Sure.
And again...
It's people rushing to judgment on a small clip and not seeing the entirety of the
now,
story.
Is the NFL a heartless business? Is this going to hurt his draft stock? Absolutely. People are saying, well, he shouldn't have had to do it. He shouldn't have had to do the pro day. Well, you're under no obligation to do a pro day. You don't have to.
Yeah, players have skipped it many times.
But if I'm a coach, I would absolutely want to see the guy in person. I mean, that's what the whole deal apparently with this kid from Oregon is people finally started watching him in person and realized he wasn't as big as they thought he was. So I would definitely want to see this guy move around. I'd want to meet him. I'd want to see a bunch of stuff. But it's another one of these things is like, what do you want everyone to do? Like you went, I don't know if he was there. What, he went Jim Harbaugh to, like, you know, like, dive on him? If you're not a medical guy, like, you stay away.
Well, it's internet judgment. Everyone, of course, has the correct opinion, even though they don't know the entire story.
This whole thing's interesting, though. Like, people opt... It makes me, like, really think about things like Matt Corral played in a bowl game that he didn't have to play in.
Right.
Gets hurt. Now he's going to drop. This guy comes to the combine. But if you look at it, these guys come back now. Like, Cam Akers... Tore his Achilles, he was back for the Super Bowl.
No,
I think it was like eight months.
They're saying 6 months.
6 months, there you go.
For this. So.
There's a dude who got hurt at the combine last year, and he was playing mid-year.
But it's going to hurt his draft stock. I mean,
he might be a second. This happened to Jalen Smith, too, right, from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
A couple of years back, he kind of faded out of the league. But, yeah, I think he was still a first or second round pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to, I mean, he's still, they're not going to, you know, put a black mark next to him and go, like, do not draft. But he'll fall a little bit. I don't think he's going to fall like rounds, but he'll fall a little bit. But that's what people, it's these clips, and then everyone's commenting on it. And then you see the true story. I mean, what do you think the guy, and then, because I saw it, and I'm like, wait, what, they just like let him writhe in pain? I mean, they're at the indoor facility at Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably 85 medical trainers there. Like, what, they just, like, let him sit there, like, riling around in pain? Like, you know, Belichick, I don't know, Belichick was probably not there. But Patricia supposed to run up to him and give him mouth-to-mouth? What do you want out of these guys? And it is one of these things where then, you know, and then everyone starts commenting on it. And then
why does he have the combine? Why is he doing this? I know.
And then it's like players go, well, some players said, well, in practice, I've seen guys get hurt. And then the coach just moves the ball 10 yards and we keep going. And to that, I would say, okay, yeah. And then you just sat there and then like went home? No, then the medical people come up to you and then they ask you what's wrong. What do you want everyone to do? It's weird to me. But it's just it's another thing of players going, oh, woe is me, woe is me.
But
no one
cares. But to these players, though, I'll back them. Like, some of these guys skip bowl games. They get crap for it. Like, they can't come out as sophomores. So if you're like a star stud, you can't come out of college.
But there's a rule for that. There's a reason for that.
But I'm just saying, like, these kids that they're being, like, judged for either doing it or not doing it.
Oh, I wouldn't play in a bowl game. Unless it's a playoff game.
Right. That would be it.
Matt Corral didn't have to play in his game. It was a meaningless game. Dude gets hurt. Now he's going to drop out of the first round.
Well, he shouldn't have played in the game.
But that's what I mean. Like, he's getting criticized for that. Yeah, like he just went boo-hoo, like, for the kid. Like, this kid's trying to become a Michigan first-round pick. And now he tried so hard, he blew out his Achilles. And now
I feel bad for the kid. But I mean, but these like professional players that are like, yeah, and they just move on in practice. No, I feel horrible for the kid.
Yeah, right. When Teddy Bridgewater went down, the Vikings shut down practice because they just signed him to this big deal. His knee gives out. Yeah. They said they never heard a sound like that in their lives. Yeah. Like when he got hurt, they like canceled practice. They're like, that's it. No one's getting hurt today.
Remember Baltimore where every single person, they had that practice this offseason.
Yeah. Right.
Or last offseason where like they had five injuries and they were like, all right, we're done. It's done.
Yeah,
it's There's a black cloud over there.
Right. We hit a gypsy caravan or something. We got cursed.
Right. Yeah. Let's all sage this place and do whatever we have to do. So I just don't. If you watch the video, just take it with a grain of salt, because this whole they didn't care thing is a little ridiculous. Because then there's pictures of literally 20 guys surrounding the kid.
But that's also somebody's looking to get some sort of controversy where it's not there, and you see it. It's not just with videos that stop before you see the whole story. But I mean, I see people tweeting stuff that are obviously edited sound bites to make somebody look or sound bad. And I almost every time I see that, I kind of want to just, I lose a little bit of respect for the person who posted it. I'm like, how are you not realizing that this is a heavily edited video that you're putting up here to get like your agenda across? But the agenda is always on social media outrage, and everyone wants to dunk on everybody
I will say this, in the NCAA tournament, though, when someone gets hurt, they scrape them right up off the floor, send them out, and the game keeps going.
What do you want them to do?
I know. I mean, it's just funny. The show goes on in the NCAA tournament.
And we're pretending that, like, football's safe? Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, so this kind of reminds me of, like, youth sports, and I actually coach high school sports, and, you know, there's an expectation that when somebody gets hurt, everyone should just take a knee, and, everything stops. And it's like, really strange to me. And I think the people who are commentating on that as like this, vile image, it's like, well, yeah, again, what, Fred, you're right. What do you want them to do? Now, you're not going to all take a knee and just wait for them to get up and clap. It's like, keep the show going. And,
youth sports is something totally different, though. What are you, kid falls? Of course you're taking a knee and you're waiting for them to get up. You're not gonna, that's two totally different things.
Yeah, it is. But, I think, we're talking about the people who are on Twitter commentating on that. I think that's kind of the expectation all around now.
Yeah, listen, this guy's at his pro day. I mean, if you want the coaches to take a knee, like, during high school, then fine. But I don't really know what you want the coaches to do. All I know is that the idea that this kid was at the Michigan facility wasn't, in the desert, like, by himself. The idea that he was at the Michigan facility and wasn't going to be helped in any way is ridiculous. And they did stop the pro day and got him medical attention and got him off the field.
Yeah, that story sucks. I read about that and it sounds awful.
Yes.
Non-contact injuries. Anytime, if I ever see a video that says non-contact injury, I rarely ever click on it. I only click on it if it's like somebody that I know we're going to be talking about a lot, because I have to see the injury. But if I don't have to see it, I don't like watching those.
It's like his ankle turns.
I know. And for some reason, non-contact are the worst for me. Like, those are the toughest.
The worst was that kid Ware from Louisville in the Sweet 16 or Final Four. dude just goes up for a shot, comes down his leg, and you can literally see the bones.
Yeah, the worst one was
Gordon Hayward.
Well, Hayward was I watched Hayward twice because I saw it live, Trebek. And then I knew I had to watch it one more time, so I had because I had to talk about it.
Trebekki's arm snap from throwing a baseball. That is what the most disgusting one I've just from throwing a baseball. His arm snap. That's the worst one. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is moving fast, using all my breath.
You would think it's modern English, right?
It sounds like it.
Nick, in the other room.
This is the national
band called The Strokes.
Oh, it's The Strokes. Okay.
This sounds very similar.
Stop the world.
I guess when a band has been out of commission for like 30 years, it's okay to rip them off. You kind of have license to at that point.
Yeah, until you go to court.
Until you're Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah.
And you just literally are Led Zeppelin.
Or Dua Lipa.
Already got them there. Won't you stay with me? Ed Sheeran?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's just like, that's, no, it's the guy who Sam Smith.
Oh, that guy.
Isn't that Stay With Me, who just ripped off Tom Petty, I Won't Back Down? But I think he lost that lawsuit.
He did.
It was so similar to I Won't Back Down by Tom Petty that he lost that lawsuit.
Because apparently Joe was on with Leroy yesterday, and there was an hour and a half long debate over the skills of Jay-Z compared to Eminem.
90 minutes, Rich, of just, I don't know how it got started, but Eminem versus Jay-Z, I don't know your opinion on it, but...
You're talking to the wrong guy. You want to do Alice in Chains versus Soundgarden, I'll do that.
Though, just off the cuff, like, who do you think was better?
Man, I don't know. People seem to like Eminem a lot. Sure.
All I know is
Eminem.
Eminem has sent a bunch of his spaghetti and albums.
We also found out Leroy 6% Irish yesterday.
Okay.
Now, did he do a spit test?
Yes.
Okay.
Ancestry.com.
Now, how long has he been in Boston? If you don't know, Leroy's African American.
Like 40 years.
Okay, no. But how long has his family been in Boston?
His whole life. He grew up here.
Yeah, but his family, generationally. Because I have a feeling if you've been in Boston long enough. Some Irish guy's banging someone and getting someone pregnant. if you've been in Boston for like three generations, some Irish is seeping through.
I am never doing one of those 23andMe things because
I did it.
I know, but how often are you hearing these stories about people who end up finding out that their father wasn't really their father, or that they've got like all sorts of relatives that they weren't aware of, and
fantastic.
When I was on vacation, it was some guy who was like our shuttle driver to get to and from where we're going was telling me that he had just come back from Boston because he found out that his mother did one of those tests, and that I guess that. Someone that what was the line? It was he had a relative that was a brother that she didn't know about. The mother didn't know about. Like the father had another kid.
Hell yeah!
And that he wanted to meet for the first time. And then that's all sorts of weirdness. Wow. And then they have to learn the truth that hey, you know, my father was no saint and he had other kids.
How do you pull that off? By the way, two families at the same time. Give him a round of applause.
I guess it happens more than you think.
I mean, I can't go to the bathroom without everyone asking where I'm going. I mean, two families is. I mean, in my house, carrying on two families, I have no idea. My wife works from home. I'm home by noon. The kids need constant shuttling to places. It's amazing that you would have that freedom. What a life.
Yeah. And how do you not know if you are the spouse of the person who had another child that money is getting funneled toward that other family?
Well, you probably do, because in my experience, I know of someone whose a mother was having a philandering husband. The dad was philandering, and the mother knew about it, but just didn't want to deal with it because she didn't want to lose the man. So the man would go on vacation with the woman and all this stuff, and it was like kind of known, but she just didn't deal with it, which, again, round of applause to the guy. I mean, honestly, I can't go to the store without 7,000 questions about what I'm up to. So, I mean, it is really something. But I'll tell you, Rich, if I did the ancestry thing, and it's the most boring thing in the world, I'm 99.9% European, and I'm 72% Irish and 25% German. Hooray. Like, what? Wow, what a neat trick.
But now...
But what I should do now is run around screaming that I'm Irish at everyone.
But now they can trace you to other people who may have sorts of weird connections to you.
But it's like bad. It's not good. Like, I did it. DNA relatives. And it's like first cousin once removed.
I don't like that stuff.
First cousin twice removed. I don't even know what that means. And then it's a second cousin once removed. Third to fifth cousin. I don't know what the hell that means.
Did Artola Cologne have two families at the same time?
You could do that if you're a baseball player because you're in another country or you're on the road a lot.
Yeah, maybe. And also you have the money to possibly make that happen.
I was told
to go smoothly.
I was told that there was a guy at my golf club years ago that was saying that he always had to leave because he had these. He was on call to be a doctor, and do surgeries and stuff like that. And it turns out he was indeed a doctor, but he was not working in the ER. He was just a physician that had regular office hours.
Okay,
so he had invented this whole life as this emergency physician in order to have two families.
Can you imagine busting a family member? Like, let's say you had a father and you didn't know that he had a second family. Can you imagine busting your father with the other family? Just how traumatizing that would be?
Yeah.
Like, not finding out the way that, you know, sitting down and them telling you or whatever, but, you know, possibly going to a restaurant and seeing your dad with another family, calling his kid son. What a nightmare.
Oh, you know what you got to watch? All right, so there was something, I found it on YouTube, where it was parents of stars, right?
Yeah.
So Anthony Kiedis' dad, Blackie, is the dad, and he's like, you know, when I lived in Hollywood and I had Anthony, like, it was a different time, and, you know, we'd have, like, porn girls over and, like, drugs, and, like, sure, I'd give him, like, when he was, like, 11, I'd give him a little bit of acid, just to have him experience it. And, you know, when he was 12, there was a beautiful, nice young lady. And I was like, you know, I swear to God, this is how he put it. He goes, if he loses his virginity to this chick, like, he goes to school, he's going to be like the coolest guy in school. So I had Anthony at 12 bang this.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, you're really telling these stories. Like, how is the police? I know Anthony's an adult, but how are the police not there? I mean, you're giving your kid acid? I mean, no wonder he's in that band.
Oh, my God.
I mean, no wonder he can't sing. I mean, who knows what acid is going to do to the young mind? I mean, and your dad's giving it to you, like, at 11? I mean, people give Robert Downey Jr.'s dad, he just died, but him a lot of crap for letting Robert Downey smoke weed when he was a kid. But, I mean, you're giving your kid acid. That's a whole other story, baby.
It's not good. Yeah, I'm out on the 23andMe. No, thank you.
You're not going to find. Your parents were devout Catholics.
I don't know. I'd like to think so, but I don't know.
Come on. Mike, go ahead. And I'm not telling you to do it. It's boring. Mine was just nonsense. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So when I was born, I was actually adopted at birth, and all my life I spent trying to find my biological family because I found out when I was like 12 or whatever. And when I got married around like 27, 28, my wife got me ancestry for my birthday. And that's actually how I found my biological family, because it linked me directly to second cousins and cousins and uncles and aunts that were using ancestry just as something to learn about their biological past. And I popped up and they're like, who on earth is this Polish kid saying that he's so-and-so's sister, because nobody had a clue on where I was coming from. And it unearthed everything, and it actually got back to my sister, who was living around Boston at the time, and she had been searching for me for like 20 years.
So it was a good story. You enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a great idea.
So it was a positive in your life. You found your... how did your adopted parents take it when you found your biological parents?
It was mixed feelings because they wanted to make sure that I wasn't doing it to X-nay them out of my lives.
Sure.
And we had conversations earlier on just saying, look, I'm not doing this to spite you. I'm doing this for my own, well-being.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a great experience, definitely.
Yeah. I know someone who has a kid who has not told the father that she had the kid. And,
you imagine going your whole life and not realizing that you had, old's the son or daughter?
Like 1.5. And she had she told them that she was pregnant. They had gone out like once or twice. And she told the guy that she was pregnant, and the guy was like, it's not mine. And then, so she was like, okay. So now she has this kid who I've seen pictures of the dude, looks like just like the dude. And
but she told him, so that's on him then.
It's both of them are not handling this the way I would handle it. But she claims to have told him very early in the pregnancy that she was pregnant, and he was like, fine, it's not mine. And then,
well, this brings up something big, but Maury Povich is going to retire.
Yes, I know.
And Maury is big on you are or you're not the father.
The idea that show was on the air for 31 years and I never saw an episode is really something, as much TV as I watch.
Maury's great.
But exactly the story, the storyline you just said. You know, this guy's like, not me. And then
but if you grow up with a single mother, I mean, what, 7, 6? You start asking, where's dad?
Oh, but it's not even that.
4 or 5, you start asking, where's dad?
Yeah, think about that, and then imagine being a father and not knowing that you had a kid. And then all of a sudden, which, by the way, I know somebody that happened to. He met his son for the first time when his son was 22.
Yeah, well, that's this situation. This is what this situation is going to be.
But at least there was she at one point told him something that stayed in his head. This was a guy I worked with who, like, was just found out one time. As a matter of fact, it was this girl he dated called and said, it's time that you know that you have a son. He's 22 years old, and I want him to meet you this weekend.
Did she go on the radio show?
No, it was not on the air, but this person did work. At the radio station, and he met his 22-year-old son for the first time. Like, didn't even know he had a son, and that was, I mean, listen, he obviously was very happy that he has a son, but I mean, it was not a pleasant moment. His world was absolutely rocked.
Kid asked for a little cash. Do you want a little money?
I think he was doing okay. His mom actually was doing all right.
All right. Because there will come a day, and now it's very easy with all this genetics just from like one lob of spit.
Yeah.
They can find. I like that you do think that your parents were swinging it around.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know. If there's even a chance of it, I don't want to know.
Yeah. I knew that no one was having my parents but them. No one wanted anything to do with the touchers but the two touchers. And then they had me, and they said, all right, no more. No more kids. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Waller.
You explain it to me, John. Explain it.
Honey. Did
you call him honey?
I did. This is like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
Hey, we are Toucher and Rich. Trevor Noah never asked Kanye West not to perform at the Grammys, if you're wondering. Breaking news.
Yeah, because what was the deal? He was banned because of his online behavior? What was the thing that broke the...
He was never officially asked to perform at the Grammys, so his camp is saying he was. The Grammys never announced that he was supposed to perform. They announced all the people I really want to see, like Jack Harlow, are going to be performing, so Kanye might have made this up, but Kanye got mad at Trevor Noah because Trevor Noah on The Daily Show, which is hysterical. The Daily, Trevor Noah's comedy in quotations that's just meant to not along to. I agree with that statement. He did something about Kanye West being, not good. And Kanye West called him the N-word on the Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then Instagram banned Kanye for 24 hours.
Okay.
And now they're saying that Kanye has been banned from performing at the Grammys, which the game does not like. Because the game is in the camp of Kanye West.
Is the game still relevant? Is he making music?
All I know is the game was down with those two brothers that were in Good Charlotte.
Oh, the Barbarian Twins.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The Barbarian Twins had a side project.
They did. I think one of them rest in peace.
You didn't like Good Charlotte? They were so punk rock. I interviewed Good Charlotte one time, and you're not going to believe me, this is true, and one of them had a Misfits shirt on, and I go, oh, you like the Misfits? And he goes, who? And I go, you, sir, are very into punk rock. But in fairness, he's 2 years younger than me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you don't know who the... How do you not know who the Misfits
are? How about you not wear the shirt if you're in a punk band and you're wearing that?
But how are you in a punk band and you're unaware that the Misfits existed? Like, it's impossible. Mm. How is that possible?
Right, it's like I'm in a rock band, but I've never heard of Led Zeppelin.
Exactly, like you would have heard of the Misfits, the Bad Brains. Like if you were in a punk band, the Misfits, Bad Brains, Sex Pistols, and Black Flag. Like if those would be like four like.
And Simple Plan.
Simple Plan were later. They're a fourth generation Minor Threat.
Yes.
But seriously, if you were in a punk band, like if you're anybody, is there anyone out there that doesn't know who the Misfits, Sex Pistols, Black Flag, and the Bad Brains are? And I'm not saying they're good bands. Black Flag with Henry Rollins was awful.
I liked Black Flag with Henry Rollins.
Do you like those later albums where there's 9 minute dirge songs?
I had like Damaged one.
Damaged is the classic one. See, Black Flag were 1,000 times better without Rollins. And I'm not just saying that to be contrarian. There's many people that feel that way. But Greg Ginn got very into the Grateful Dead of all bands, and their last three albums are just like these dirges of impossible. It's like Sonic Youth. It's impossible. Who are they? He said. And I just went, oh, my God.
All right. Well, this is going to be an interesting interview.
Like, and you are punk. You're a punk band.
I would have just turned to punk rock trivia at that point.
Oh, that would have been funny.
What band was Sid Vicious in?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he was never on a record, so.
Name one member of the Ramones. Yeah. Just their last name. You don't even need to give me their first name.
Yeah, the Ramones, I guess, would be another band that everyone would have to know. All right, Rich, Deshaun Watson.
What a holy crap moment when Deshaun Watson, it was finally announced where he is going. And then you read why he was going there and you went, okay, it's because they gave him literally everything.
Yes, they just said
everything.
They just said, here, we like money. Here it is.
Just bend us over whatever it takes. We will take it. So the way that all of this went, now that he's been signed to the Cleveland Browns, by the way, great keeping him in the AFC. Good for the Patriots. So Deshaun Watson signs with Cleveland, and you start hearing all of the backstory of how this team that was completely out of the mix ended up getting back into the mix. So for the longest time, the Browns were out, and then I guess the reason that the Panthers were out was because they wouldn't guarantee the final 2 years of their contract. Cleveland hears that and goes, okay, maybe that's our in.
Jimmy Haslam just goes, look, I got the flying J.
Don't forget the Falcons either.
Well, so the Falcons, they're still... Now, he wanted to play for the Falcons, and I guess the Falcons were all in as well, but not obviously as all in as Cleveland was. So he was thinking back and forth, obviously, between the Saints and that. And then all of a sudden, Baker Mayfield threatens to not play for the rest of the season. Like, he said that he was willing to sit out not only training camp, but not even play at all. So then Cleveland goes into complete and total panic mode. We all know that Cleveland's horribly run. We know that they have one of the most worst owners in all of professional sports in Jimmy Haslam. So what they end up doing is they make a deal with the devil. They go, and if I'm another team, I am pissed that they have completely set the quarterback market out of control. Not only do they pay him $230 million, but it's all guaranteed. 100% of that is guaranteed money that he will be getting. And now what makes Cleveland real pieces of crap? That would be knowing that next year Deshaun Watson most likely will have some sort of suspension.
Yeah, they're guessing six games.
They have manipulated the contract. And this was another selling point to get Deshaun Watson. They have manipulated the contract to where the first year Deshaun Watson only makes $1 million. So that means that he will be missing out on very, very little cash.
I don't know how that's legal.
How did they? I mean, just, you want to talk about the grimiest, slimiest way of doing that. Then, of course, they put out this statement that's like, whoa, you know, we have done our due diligence and we take this very seriously. And he was very, you know, very contrite and had said that he would definitely be a good people person when he was here in the city of Cleveland. I mean, they gave this dude everything he wanted. And they also gave him an out for any kind of real punishment that he would be getting from the NFL.
And it reminds me of those, like, hockey contracts. Remember when they gave Kovalchuk that, like,
it was like 13 years or something?
It was like a 37-year deal to, like, spread the average value out. Like, the NFL has got to step. The NFL's really got to step in and go, you can't do this. You can't throw, like, this bogus year.
All last year.
You have to pay $10 million, yeah.
But I mean, it was completely bogus. He got paid the whole entire thing, gets off the hook on the court, and now he gets a new deal.
But I'm in the camp that you're in, Joe. I don't think they ever win a Super Bowl.
So, yeah, so I this thing broke. I was on the air Friday, and I couldn't believe it. Like, and from everything I read, I guess the Falcons were in, and then they kept asking, well, we want this, we want that. And then finally, I think Atlanta somehow is like, you're not the guy we want to do this for. That's my whole thing with Cleveland.
Cleveland said, we'll give you all the money and we'll protect you when you get punished.
And in their defense, they've had this terrible history of quarterbacks, but they're going all in with that guy. And great, listen, if you know the history of Watson, great college player, won a national championship. My only thing is,
Tim Couch, Johnny Manziel, Brady Quinn, and
there's so many.
No, these Derek are first Gander. Round picks.
Oh, yeah. First round picks.
I think they have five. They picked five quarterbacks in the first round since they came back at 99, maybe. And it's, yeah, they did. So it's Couch, Mayfield. Couch was number one overall. Mayfield was number one overall. Johnny Manziel, Brady Quinn, and there might be one other guy.
Brandon Weed was second round.
Okay, so there you go. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they have whiffed.
Yeah.
So would you guys go all in on this guy
if he didn't have the track record? If he didn't have this thing looming? I mean, that was the dirtiest of all of it, was to manipulate the contract to where he wouldn't get punished. I mean, they sold their souls for this guy. But if he was just Deshaun Watson, quarterback with no issues. If I'm Cleveland, yeah, what do you got to... I mean, it would be weird, though. I would almost feel a sense of... that you screwed all of the other owners in the amount of money of these contracts. I mean, when you do that, it alters everything.
Well, think about it. The quarterbacks now are holding the lead. It's become the new NBA.
They are the stars. Those are the... They dictate everything. They dictate the rules. And, you know, teams are just going to get more and more desperate. As the AFC just is run amok.
I have this thing with Deshaun Watson. I know he's a fantastic athlete, but, you know, they won four games with him.
Yes.
And I know he shredded the Patriots. People tell me he's top five in the league.
He is. He's a star.
I know that.
He's got Amari Cooper on his team now, too, which
helps.
Who's
a dog. He's a great player, but he's a dog, too. They're going all in with a guy here that I think is very questionable. And I'm going to go on record. I don't think Watson ever wins a Super Bowl with Cleveland.
Look at that division, too. I mean, you have Joe Burrow, a team that went to the Super Bowl. People are, you know, already forgetting about those guys. You've obviously got the Ravens, who I don't know if I believe in 100%, but I mean, they have Lamar Jackson, obviously one of the most dynamic guys in there.
They remember how banged up
they were. Really banged up. They were. So it is tough to get a little bit of a gauge on where they are now. Now you have Deshaun Watson in there too. The Steelers all of a sudden are the worst team in the division.
We'll see.
Unless you got Mitchie, Super Mitch out there.
We'll see. We'll see. The Steelers have a way of hanging around. We'll see.
Yeah, because they're well coached. And their defense is very good.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how this all shakes out.
I apologize. Brandon Weeden was a first round pick.
All right, there you go.
Brandon Weeden was all the people. Wasn't he like 28 when he was drafted?
He was a baseball player.
Yeah, he was one of those baseball players.
Yeah. But there's an interesting
top five quarterback. I mean, he's a very good quarterback. Top five now is I don't know if he's a top five quarterback.
We missed. He hasn't played in a year. Like,
well, that's also another issue. Like, who knows how he's going to be this season. I mean, but you can't deny how smart, fast, what an arm he has.
He's a great
everything you want. He's other than, of course, the off the field stuff. He's everything you want in an actual quarterback.
His team better. I don't. I know he's had. I know he throws for 4,000 yards and is accurate. And
if you're willing to give up your franchise for a quarterback, it is telling that he was on a team that he started, at least the vast majority of games that won four games. You are correct. Because if it is all about your quarterback,
It's not like he didn't have people to throw to, too.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Brandon Cooks was great for them.
So that's the thing is that I'm Hawkins. With you. That if because you can't have it both ways. If you go, well, these picks don't mean anything, and I'm going to give I guess the cap means absolutely nothing, so whatever. But I'm going to give all this money to this guy, which is going to affect something financially. It's certainly the owner. And you're going to give up all those picks, and you go, all right, he's that important. Well, he was on a team where he started, and they won four games. So there is a point to that if you're going by logic.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm with you, Joe.
And it almost defies logic, when you see how good of a player he is. It's really strange, and I have to go back and take a look at that four-win season and see what the deal was. Because for a while, I mean, obviously, they made the playoffs as well with him.
Yeah. But there's a lot of young quarterbacks. It's going to be interesting. The AFC is going to be very interesting.
AFC is just an arms race.
Where do they rank now, the Patriots?
Well, there's a really good article, and maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later on, where Greg Bedard used a fairly non-scientific method of trying to find out where the Patriots are in the AFC. And the way that he did it is he took each position and figured out whether or not there was a blue chip player in the position or a red chip, which is somebody who's very good but not like elite. And then he used a point system to find out where the Patriots rank. And it's pretty telling. All of these other teams are getting better, and the Patriots arguably have gotten worse because they've lost so much talent.
I don't know if it's arguably. I mean, they've gotten worse. And did you hear their fullback? The guy that was traded is saying that he was told by the Patriots that that's no longer a position on their team.
Yeah.
So they're going to be playing the Patriots this year.
Going without a fullback.
Without a fullback.
I actually got excited about that. It's like, what is this genius thing you're mixing up here?
See, this is why I don't like this. When they had James Devlin, they won Super Bowls. Like when
Josh McDaniels loved the fullback.
Yeah, they were one of the best rushing teams in football and stopped running. Remember the game against Buffalo? Does anybody remember that?
They
lost their last, I don't know, four games or whatever it was this year?
Yeah, but the DVOA earlier in the season had to go to the Super Bowl. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.